In February of 2017, Trinity College took a pilgrimage to Holy Land. Several students of a variety of ages went, some who were completing their Masters of Divinity like me, and others their Masters of Theology, or some just a few courses here and there. Some feeling called to ordained ministry, others to lay ministry. There were priests, active and retired, and those retired priests who are still active. There was a couple celebrating their wedding anniversary, and they brought along their adult children and were taking this journey all together. There were some who came alone and some who brought someone. I brought my mom. But as she says, if you look at really the finances and payment of the trip, she brought me. We all spent 2 weeks exploring Holy Land together, looking to experience Jesus, to walk where he walked, to learn about history, and to see the world. And we saw so much, almost an overwhelming amount every day. We walked the streets of Jerusalem, spent sunrise at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, marking spots where Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose. We went on a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, reconfirmed our baptismal vows in the Jordan River, and floated on the Dead Sea. We did as much as we could, and my mom posted 1,001 pictures on Facebook just to prove it. But the first thing we did when we got there, the first place we visited, is a place called the Wedding Church in a town, I believe it's pronounced Kafr Kana. It's a beautiful church that commemorates the miracle of Jesus turning water into wine, as we heard in the gospel reading today. This is where we started, at this miracle. And this isn't even where the Gospel of John starts. The author of this gospel first writes about Jesus' baptism and his gathering of the disciples along the way, saying, "Come and see." But this place is what I first saw in Holy Land, a place commemorating where Jesus' first sign, not miracle as we've tended to call it, but first sign was revealed. And in a whole new way, his ministry began. On what the author calls the third day after John the Baptist testified about Jesus, we find Jesus at a wedding. The one John the Baptist says is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, God's chosen one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. On day three, he's at a wedding with his mom and his disciples. And for me, that beginning was a little anticlimactic, but I actually find a bit of similarities. I was ordained in May on a Sunday. I took my vows, the bishop laid his hands on my head, and 2 days later, the diocese whisked me off to a clergy retreat in Niagara Falls, where we reflected and prayed and did the retreat-type things, but also spent time by the falls, had great food, had some wine. And soon after that, the same week, I was taken to Nottawasaga Inn, a beautiful place for another time of learning, where I got a beautiful room and again, some lovely meals. And I thought to myself that first week beginning my ministry, this clergy life is not too bad. But thankfully, Jesus is a much better person than I am, and it seems wasn't that interested in being at the wedding, or at least in helping at this wedding, when his mother pointed out they were out of wine. She didn't really ask him to do anything. She simply said, "They have no wine." And that's the last thing we know she said to Jesus at the wedding. This is actually the first we hear of Jesus' mother in the Gospel of John, and she isn't even named. She's referred to as the mother of Jesus, in kind of a strange shift after Advent and Christmas, where we focus so much on Mary and her yes, and her role in bringing the word into flesh. It seems in today's Gospel reading that even she is saying to Jesus, "Okay, let's get this going. You've had people testify about you. You have your disciples. Show them what you can do. I think she wanted his ministry to begin, and perhaps she wasn't the only one. I wonder and imagine that the disciples who would have joined Jesus at this wedding, disciples who had picked up and left everything behind, they want to get things moving too. They all want to believe in him. And we too might wonder, when will Jesus' ministry begin in our own lives? Or maybe the lives of others who don't believe? When will Jesus get in there and just wow them? Wow all of us for the first time, or the second, or third, or fourth. This past week, I was at a conference for assistant curates across the diocese called Momentum. And almost every month, we gather and learn about a particular aspect of ministry. And this month, part of what we talked about was evangelism, the importance of sharing the good news, sharing Jesus with others who have not yet heard, who do not yet believe, who have not yet been wowed. And some of the curates shared their own stories of when Jesus first came into their lives. Powerful and amazing moments. People who say they have heard Jesus talk to them. They have seen Jesus, felt the Spirit in a powerful way. A moment that marked when they began to believe. And to be honest, I was kind of jealous. This hasn't happened for me in that way. I can say there were moments when I look back and know God was there, comforting me, guiding me. But there was no one moment that I can pinpoint in my life where I believed, where I had a sign that began Jesus' ministry in my life. And in hearing all these wonderful stories, I thought that was pretty rude of God to do to me. And you too might wonder where your sign is. When will Jesus be active in your life for the first time or the umpteenth time because you really need it? We often need Jesus in our lives when we're in crisis, we're in loss, fear, when we're alone. We often yearn for these signs when it seems we just don't have anything else to hold on to. When will God's chosen one make everything okay? When will he do this for us, and for some of us, prove that this is worth believing? When will he do something to show those who doubt the glory of God, that there really is a God who loves them, is with them, and calls to them? Where is the sign? Jesus tells the servants to fill 6 jars with water. And when they eventually take it to the chief steward or chief guest, he tastes it. And the water has become fine wine. Now, we don't know when this happens. We don't even know exactly how this happens. But the Gospel of John says, Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The disciples believed in Jesus because in this moment, they believed he turned water into wine. He took something ordinary and made it extraordinary, and revealed his glory in a tangible way, in a big wow kind of way. And it wasn't known to all that he did it, but still, this is a pretty wow moment in our Gospels. Some might say this miracle is where it all really started. It was the first sign, after all. But I don't think that it was. This sign, this wonderful and transformative sign, wasn't the beginning of Jesus' ministry, but the beginning was Jesus being in the midst of people, being a guest at this wedding. It was on the third day after John the Baptist testified about him, after he calls Philip and Nathanael to follow him, Jesus went to a wedding in Cana of Galilee to be in the midst of people, because that is what his ministry was, to be with people from the beggars to the women of Samaria to those celebrating a wedding and everyone in between. Jesus was called to be with them, love them, live with them, and call to them. Signs or no signs, this was the ministry of Jesus, and that is where it began. And that's how it continues today in the midst of us. You may have had a sign from Jesus in your life, one that you cherish and hold on to and relive over and over again, because it truly was God breaking into your life in a way that changed it forever. Or maybe you didn't have a sign quite so grand. Maybe you didn't have a moment you can pinpoint and say, this is when I believed. Maybe like me, you grew up in this faith and you grew into your relationship with God, into your faith, in the good news of Jesus in a way that you too cherish because it changed your life forever too. Either way, or any way in between, Jesus and all that he is and all that he offers is in the midst of us, holding us to God and to each other in faith, hope, and love. And that has changed all of our lives forever. Jesus was invited to this wedding. He was a guest. And really, in his ministry, he was pretty much always a guest wherever he went, coming into towns, places of worship, homes, as a guest, being in the midst of all and bringing good news to all, living out his ministry. I believe that God is in the midst of all people at all times. And we as followers of Christ are not only invited to, but called to also be in the midst of all people, a visitor, a friend, a guest, and share God's love and good news with all, sharing how we experience Christ. We are called to go into the world to continue Jesus's ministry by first and foremost being in the midst of people, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, loving them as we see God in the midst of them and in them, and then bringing the miracle, being the miracle, being the sign of God's love in the world, sharing our story of faith, whether it's one of a wow moment or a long winded journey or something completely different. I pray that we all share that story, our own story, in the midst of people, being with them, hearing them, and walking with them as a living sign that God continues to change all our lives forever. Amen.